Okay. Kum lenin in a block Gemara, we are up to Dav Kuf Chaf Amid Aleph by the Mishnah. We're still talking about what one may rescue in the event of Rachmanis Litzlan there is a fire. So when it comes to meals, we limit it to three meals. And then we spoke about clothes, how many clothes one can wear, as we'll see in the see. Says the Gemara, Matzilin Sal Mole Kikris. We did that yesterday. Sorry, we're up to the Kuf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. We're up to Kuf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph by the Mishnah. So we learned already how many clothes one can rescue as well. The Mishnah says now, what about if Nochri Shebo Lechabos, a goy comes along and this goy wants to extinguish the fire. It could be said you're not allowed to obviously extinguish the fire. We made all these areas in place because we're scared you might extinguish the fire. But what happened to the goy wants to come and do it on his own? Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to tell him kabe. You're not allowed to tell him go ahead and extinguish the fire. You're not allowed to give him instructions because then there's the shlichus to a goy l'shabbos l'chumra. That's a middle of nochri shvus. And different opinions as to why, but you're not allowed to have a goy do a malacha for you on Shabbos. But nor can you say va'al techabe, nor should you say if a goy on his own decides to extinguish the fire, don't stop him. It's not your problem, and then let him go ahead and extinguish it. Yeah, mipnesh ein shvisos yaleim. Our job is not to make sure that goyim don't work on Shabbos. It's not our responsibility because they have no issur of working on Shabbos if he does it on his own. If a child wants to come ahead and extinguish the fire, ain't shaming loy. There you have to stop him. Because it's our responsibility. Says the Gemara, when it comes to a fire, you're allowed to make the following announcement. You're not allowed to specifically ask somebody to help you, or goy, but you're allowed to say, that anybody who extinguishes the fire, then ain't mafshid, will not lose out. Maybe I'll give him something or something, without specifying anything, without asking anybody in particular. And then if a goy volunteers to extinguish the fire, it's not like he's working for me. It's not like he's my shliach. Says the Gemara, name of Messiah, noch, let's bring a rai from my Mishnah. It says, noch rishibol lechab, the goy wants to extinguish, ein oimrim loy kabei. You don't tell him to extinguish the fire, but the alt chab, no, you have to stop him, mipnesh, ein shvis, osir lem, because it's not our responsibility. So from the beginning, it says in the Mishnah, what can't you do? You can't instruct him to go and extinguish the fire. But if you give a generalism proclamation, whoever extinguishes the fire won't lose out on that. You're not specifically telling him kabei, so they feel out to. Is mashma kabei udlemnile? Hakola mechabe ein a mafsid amrile. But you're allowed to make this general statement. So anymore, that from our mission, you can't bring it out one way or another. Because if you're going to be so pedantic, let's look at the next part of the mission. Ein masefer al techabe lemin. You're not allowed to tell him, don't extinguish the fire. If he's doing it right on his own, don't stop him. Not you don't allow to. Sorry, you don't have to stop him. Is mashma, you don't have to stop it, but nor, that's the only thing you don't have to do. But to make a general statement and imply that somebody could do it is a good thing, you can't do either. You shouldn't say. From our Mishnah, you can't bring it out one way or another. Tell them what we learned. Not that we're disproving what Abami said, that you can make a general statement, but we're just saying you can't bring it out from Mishnah. Tell me, learn. Ma'isev and offered Lake B'chatzer Yosef B'simoy. It was once a fire that happened in the courtyard of Yosef B'simoy B'shichin in the town of Sichin. The Bo'an she gistro shel Tzipoyri, and the people from the government from Tzipoyri came lichbois on their own. They came. The members of the government came to extinguish the fire. Why? Bipnesh apetrufish shel melechaya. He was the treasurer of the king, and therefore they had an interest to make sure to save him. V'lohi nichen. But he didn't allow them to make covered of Shabbos. He felt it was wrong to have so many people standing there and extinguishing his fire because of covered of Shabbos. The Naslanes, a miracle happened. The Yorduk Shamim, it came, it was a downpour. The Kibbutz, and the downpour extinguished the fire. Le'edev, and that night, Shigil L'chol Echad Men, he sent to every goy, even though he sent them away, he shooed them away and they didn't do anything, but the very fact that they wanted to extinguish the fire, he felt that he owed them a debt of gratitude. So he sent each one of them, Shtei Sloyim, he sent them $2, Olafarchais, and to their leader, Shebehen Chamishim 50. They said, Loi Hoyetzar Lakach, technically, al pi halacha, you could have allowed them to extinguish a fire. Shari sheninu, we learned, noch lishibol l'chabes, ein oimim le'kabeh, or ve'al techabeh. If they came on their own, you don't have to stop them. Maybe the reason why he stopped them is because they wouldn't have come to help any other yid. He didn't want to create the ire or the jealousy of other yidin there, saying, oh, look, this guy gets all the help and we can get nothing. Anyway, but Anes happened and saved him. Says the Gemara Vayter, so we see from here, by the way, as well, that even an Issa de Rabbanon, you can't have a guy doing for you, because extinguishing a fire, again, is a malacha shein tzich l'gufa, and that's only Asum de Rabbanon. And we're saying, hey, you now have a guy doing it, you now instruct a guy to do it for you. So even though telling a guy to do for you is a shvus, the Issa is only Rabbanon, so it's a shvus to shvus, still it's forbidden. And the only time you're allowed to do a shvus to shvus is if it's l'tzoydech chayle, for somebody who's sick, or l'tzoydech mitzvah, or for a mitzvah. You know, like sometimes, so Issa de Rabbanon, turning on the heating or air conditioning, all that kind of stuff. If it's l'tzoydech mitzvah, l'tzoydech chayle, we say a double shvus, and that you can do. But a double shvus tam, a Issa de Rabbanon, you can't tell a guy to do for you a malacha de Rabbanon. Then the Mishnah continues, we do not allow the child to go ahead and to extinguish the fire, because if a mitzvah chinuch, shamat menei, it seems from here, cotton, oichel nevelus, a child eating treif, bezdin mitzuvin olav lahafrishay. It's an obligation to stop the person from eating the treif. Now this is a whole discussion we had in Yevamos Daf Kufi that we will have in Yevamos Daf Kufi Dalud. And Shittus Taisa and all of this is that's not talking about a child who reached the age of chinuch. If you have a mitzvah of to be mechanich a child, of course you got to stop a child from eating treif. He says it's talking about a child under the age of chinuch. So you don't really have the mitzvah of chinuch yet, but you still have to stop the child from eating treif. So there's a machleikus. So let's bring a raya from here. Rabbi Yechina says, no raya from here. Why is no raya from here? Because cotton ha'oysel das aviv. We're talking about a child that, why is the child extinguishing fire? Because he thinks that's what the father wants to do. So it's like he's working on behalf of the father. And that's why it's forbidden. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case we're talking about over here. The Mishnah brings a contrast between a goy and a child. It means a goy is the same thing, he's doing it on your behalf. If the goy would have been doing it on behalf of you, of course you're not allowed to. We're talking about the goy sees a fire and he extinguishes the fire because he doesn't want the fire to spread to other houses, including his own. But you're telling me that the case of the child is talking about he's doing it on behalf of the father, and you're telling me that the father has to stop him. That means the goy is doing it on behalf of the yid. You don't have to stop him. That's not correct. Says the Gemara, Nochi l'dayte d'nafshi avid. The goy knows that the yid is benefiting from it, but he's doing it for his own pleasure. For example, he wants to make sure, or let's say even if you made an announcement that you don't lose out or something else, he's doing it for his own benefit. The child is doing it purely for the sake of the father. And therefore, why else is the child doing it? Mishnah, that's why it's forbidden. Koifin naida kaida agabe haneid, you're allowed to turn over a plate. There's a candle threatening to burn down the ceiling. You're allowed to put a pot over this fire so that it shouldn't burn down the ceiling. And we used already the Gemara before to ask, according to one who says, Yitzchok, that by Muktzah, you're not allowed to take a keli, you're not allowed to take a keli to cover something else unless the other thing also is the Muktzah. So how can you take a keli here and put it over the fire? And there we answered, it's talking about you had to pick up the keli initially, you had a reason to move the keli from its original place because you needed that spot. And once you have the keli in your hand, you can put it wherever you want. So you can place it on top of a neir b'shvil shloitecha is b'koyda. You don't want the fire to catch, the ceiling catch on fire. V'al soya shel cotton. Also, right now, the way we're learning right now is talking about the excrement of a young child, and it's mias, so you want to cover it. And we'll see later, that's not pshat at all. V'al akrev, or on a scorpion shloitishach. You don't want the scorpion to bite you, so therefore you cover it with a keli. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, this covering of the scorpion came in a place called Orev, and he said to us, I'm worried about whether the chi of chatas here. Because even the scorpion wasn't threatening, and even though it's a melacha sheitzich l'gufa, you're not trapping the scorpion because you want the scorpion. He holds like Rabbi Yechon, like Yehuda, that says melacha sheitzich l'gufa is chai v'chatas, so therefore I'm worried that maybe that you're chai v'chatas. Okay, the Gemara explains. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemer bar Abba, Rabbi Chanan bar Rava. The Gemara tells a story. It once happened, Rabbi Yehuda, three Amoraim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemer bar Abba, and Rabbi Chanan bar Rava. Iklu, they once came, Lebei Ovin, they came to the house of Ovin, Demin, Shikir, from the place of Shikir. To Rabbi Yehuda, now, Rabbi Ovin invited them, he was the host. He felt Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemer was in a different class than Rabbi Chanan bar Rava. So, he decided to make that very distinctive. So the Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yemer bar Abba, he aisalahu puraisa. He brought them, you know, sofas to sit on. The Rabbi Chanan bar Rava lo aisalah. So Rabbi Chanan bar Rava, he didn't bring any sofa. He had him sitting on the ground, on the floor, lower than everybody else. So obviously Rabbi Chanan bar Rava was very slighted by this, very upset by this. So what happened was, Ashkeche, he found, while they were sitting there, he saw, or they, he found that Mastin le lebrei, that the host, that this Rabbi Ovin was teaching his son Mishnais. In this very Mishnah we just learned, Val Tsoya Shel Katan Mipnei Katan. And he says, you know, you're allowed to cover the excrement of a child because of a child, because we don't want the child to play in that excrement. So for that purpose, you want to cover it. Amalei, he was so very angry, as you can tell over here, he's hissing. Amalei Ovin Shatya, Ovin the fool. This is what he said about his host. Mas neshtusel ibnei teaches foolish things to his son. In other words, he has no idea of pshat in the Mishnah, and he's teaching him krum. What do you mean? Because it can't be like the excrement of a child you have to cover, because you're allowed to move it. Aloi atzma mochenes leklavim. Since this excrement is food for a dog, why do you have to cover the keli? Just pick it up and take it out and give it, and you know, because it's not muktzah, since it's suitable for a dog. The chitayim de lechazir lemeetmo. I gonna tell me yesterday. This only appeared this morning. It wasn't yesterday, and you know that's like noilud, or so it's muktzah. But Tanya, we learned when we know that certain things are definitely gonna happen, there's no muktzah. Nahoras hamoshkin. If you have a river that constantly travels, or mayonas hanoivin, or springs that are constantly flowing, harehen keragle adam. We know that by things in a river or something else is not koine shvisa, even though the water that came from far away. So the chayit, if something came more than Tchum Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it at all. But when it comes to water and all that, we don't say that there's a law. Wherever you are, you can carry it with you up to Tchum Shabbos. Let's say there's a native or whatever. Or you're allowed to move it around in your place. And there's no muktzah there. Yesterday, this water that in the spring wasn't here yesterday. The water that you're taking, drawing on Shabbos morning, wasn't here yesterday. So the chayit, it should be like muktzah. No boss, because you know definitely that there's going to be water flowing all the time. You know, this is how it works, that it comes in from wherever it is. It's as if you already had this water here right now. So this same svara is used by a bracha. You know, if you make a bracha on water, if the water falls out of your hand, you know, and then you made a bracha, you have to make a new bracha, new water. But when it comes to a spring and a fountain, you don't have to, because the water is like as if it's there, even though it wasn't there when you made the bracha. It just came in afterwards, because this is how it works. So the same thing with the child, since children, you know, defecate all the time. So therefore, even though it wasn't there yesterday, it's not muktzah. So what are you telling me then, the Mishnah, that you gotta cover the fetuses of a child? Just take it out. So we asked him, what's pshat in the Mishnah? Velehecha asna, so how else would you learn pshat in the Mishnah? So he told him, Eimo say, al tsoya shatana goyli. We're not talking about a cotton. We're talking about, when it says tzoya cotton, means we want to protect the cotton. We're talking about the tzoya of a tanugol, which is not suitable for dogs. And therefore, it's muktzim. But the problem is the kid might play with it. And therefore, to protect the kid, you can cover it. And that's muktzim already, because it's not edible. And therefore, it's not really suitable for an animal. And therefore, you can cover it with a keli. Says the Gemara, if so, the tape beglay, why, if you're talking about muktzah, it's still not muktzah. The havel grof shorei, we know that something which is very mias will have masech tebeya. You're allowed to take it outside you're allowed to take it out to the mist, to the tip, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, it's not muktzah. So, l'chayda, this should be no different than the grof shorei, and you should be able to take out this excrement from the child. V'chi teima grof shorei agamona. In Iyagufullah, you can tell me what's on Grof Sharei is if there is that terrible thing, the Grof inside a clay shard or something, so you're allowed to move the clay shard with it, but to actually touch this Mias, you're not allowed to. So maybe that's Pshat. It can't be. so in other words, they just have a special receptacle for this
for all of this thing, like a little toilet or something, and then would move. You could allow to move that whole basin. Who said you're allowed to touch the thing itself? And the lechayr over here, it's lying on the ground. Maybe that's why it's moktsum. We have to cover it from the, you know, the from the tanuga. It can't be, because Ahu Ach, but there was a story of the mouse, the ishtakar, that was found be'is farmaki amongst the spices, the ravashi, va'amlu, and he said, nakoitu betzutzise, catch, grab a hold of this mouse by its tail, va'avku, and was dead. And he said, take it out, ba'ashpan, throw it into the tip. So you see that the thing itself was not muktzah. So look, what's going on here? He said, throw it out. Answers the Gemara, the ashpa. Here we're talking about, you know why it's not grof shorei here? Because it's not in the middle of the house. It's in the tip. It's at the tip. So therefore, there's no inyan of grof shorei. So if so, why do you want to cover it? The cotton ba'ashpa mabayla, you tell me the whole thing is to protect the child, but if it's in the garbage dump, what's the child doing there that you want to cover it with a keli? Okay, it's not grof shorei because it's already where it's supposed to be, so there's no issue there, but still, what do you want to then protect the child from it? So we answer b'chotzer, that this garbage dump is in the chotzer, and the child is there all the time. So the Gemara says, chotzer not me grof shorei. The Gemara thinks that the chotzer, so not by the garbage dump, it's just outside, in your courtyard, instead of being in your house. Says the Gemara, even in your courtyard, we have a din of grof shorei, which means you're allowed to move it around. So he answered, "Ba'ashpa sheva chutz." It seems that in this guy's courtyard, he had a dump. He had a garbage dump, and therefore it was there. There's no longer the excuse of grof shorei. It's allowed to move it around because it's where it's supposed to be, the garbage dump. But still, we worry the kid will play with it. Therefore, you only have to do is cover it, because it's feces from a tanago, and it's muktzah because it's not edible for animals. Anyway, why Chanan bar Rava spoke so strongly or so sternly with the Rav? I mean, he was worried about covered hatayda. Putting him down there on the floor. Says the Gemara, right? It says in the Mishnah, Akrav Shalai Tishach, if you go ahead and you want to cover a scorpion that it shouldn't bite you, says the Gemara as follows. Amr Shubba Levi. Rabbi Shubba Levi said, Kol Hamazikin Neherogin B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shubba Levi says that any threatening species you can kill on Shabbos. And the way we understand the Gemara, now we're learning Gemara like Rashi, because Tosfos are on. The way we understand the Gemara right now is, even though they're not threatening you, they're not chasing after you, Navos, because since the whole thing is a Melacha Shetzil Gufi, you don't want to trap it because you want it. You don't want it. You want to remove this threat. So it's only a Melacha Shetzil Gufi, which is only a Rabbanon. And we're over here, when there's a threatened of Tsar, the Rabbanon suspended their Issa. That's how we understand Rosh Hashanah Levi. Has a question. It says in the Braisa, Chamish and Nerogim B'Shabbos, only five species that you may kill on Shabbos, because these are really threatening. The fly from Egypt, the Tzira Sheva Ninveh, the hornet, the wasp, one of those creatures from Ninveh, the Akar, the scorpion, Sheva Chedaya, from that place there, the Nochash, a snake, only if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, because they're always threatening to kill you, and Kelev Shoter, and a wild dog, the Chomach, no matter where it is. Now, this is what the Braisa says. No, it's limiting it only to five instances. Mani. Ilem Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda, Ha'amah Melacha She'en Etzich L'Guf Chayvla. If Rabbi Huda, he holds a Melacha She'en Etzich L'Guf, you don't want to trap his Osem Ha'atayda, so why are you allowed to trap these five things here? Well, the Rav Shimon. Obviously, Rav Shimon holds Osem the Rabbanon. And yet we see that even though it's Osem the Rabbanon, if they're not chasing after you, so there's no Pekuach Nefesh, there are only five species, and only from five different places, you know, very, very limited places where they're threatening. But Hanu Deshadi, only these, even though they didn't threaten you, you're allowed to kill them because they're dangerous. But even a snake from any other part of the world, you're not allowed to kill. Akash Rav Shimon Levi, who said that all mazikin, you're allowed to kill, even though they're not threatening you. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yemir even says, Uman name alone, the home mitarasti. Who told this Bryce is accurate? Dimla Mishabashti, maybe it's an error, because only the braises that were learned in Abchir, Rabbeishi are accurate. All other braises, sometimes there were mistakes incorporated in them. Omer Rabbi Yosef, what are you talking about? I'm the one who introduces braise. I'm the one who asked the question of Shuvah Levi. And I also answered it. And this is what I answered. Berotu Achra V'divri Hakol. Now Rashi learns that Berotu Achra V'divri Hakol is referring back to Shuvah Levi. What Rabbi Shuva Levi says, you're allowed to kill all creatures, all deadly species. He's talking about they're threatening you. They're chasing and threatening you. It's pekuach nefesh. It doesn't matter what, when, where. And the Braisa is talking about when they're not chasing you. If they're not chasing you, you're not allowed to kill any threatening species. Only these five from these nations, because they're from these five places, because they're dangerous and they're constantly, you know, on the prowl. But any other thing, you're not allowed to kill unless you are aware that they're trying to, you know, chase after you. That's how Rabbi Yisrael, that's how Rashi learns Rabbi Yisrael. Tesis learns the opposite, but anyway. We'll learn Rashi. The Tanna learned like Rav, but Rav Huna, a Tanna learned Rabbi Yisrael before Rav, so Rav Huna. Ahoydig, it says like this, Ahoydig nechoshim v'akrovim. If somebody kills snakes and scorpions b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, ein ruach chasidim noichehemeno. That the pious ones are not happy with what he did. They're not happy with what he did because he killed a snake and a scorpion that wasn't threatening you, so you shouldn't have killed them. In a way, like the Braisa says, the Braisa says you shouldn't kill only those five species and snakes, only the come from Metzisro, for example, or scorpions that only come from Chadayev, not Stam in the Velteran. We're not talking about the chasing after you. We'll see in a minute. Omalei, so Rova said back, and you know something? These Hasidim are saying they're not happy with those people who kill scorpions and snakes. I want you to know something. We're not happy with these Hasidim because you're allowed to kill a scorpion and snake wherever they are. And therefore, pleaded the Rav Huna. So Rova bar Rav Huna, Rav Huna's son, argued with his father. Why? Because Rav Huna, Chazia, Lugav Rav Huna once saw this person. The Kotel, the Buddha, was killing a bee. On Malaysia, Lutinu Lakula, did you get rid of all the bees? In other words, what's the point? So Rav Huna said you should not have killed this bee that was there threatening you, even though it didn't really attack you, but just being there, you were scared. And the Rav Huna said clearly that an animal threatening species is near you, even though they're not, it's not a Pekuach Nefesh, since it's only Asum the Rabban anyway, because Malach HaSich LeGufa, and therefore where you feel threatened, even though they're not actually threatening you, you're allowed to kill. So the machlek is between Rava and his father Rav Huna. This is not the standard Rava. This is Rava by Rav Huna. Says in Maravaita, turn about me, learned in the Braisa, and is damnu loy nechoshim akrovim. Let's say, what happens that you came across, now this is a fascinating Gemara, came across snakes and scorpions. Hargon, if you decided to kill them, now there's two guesses whether this is talking about Shabbos or even during the week. Hargon, you decided to kill them, then Hashgocha Pratis, be Yuduash, and Isdam Nuloi, Lahargon. If you kill them, is Hashgocha Pratis, that I, the Abishim, wanted that this snake should be killed. Let Hargon, turn out that you didn't kill them, then you should know that be Yuduash, and Isdam Nulahargon. This snake was threatening to, was about to kill you. I, you didn't. Nasala Nesman Hashemai, but a miracle happened that you didn't kill it. It actually uses the expression here that if you killed it, is a good thing, because Megalgulus Chus Ayede Zakai. Interesting, so you know, it's like when you did an Aveda, even though an Aveda is a terrible thing, everything is Gocha Pratis, and there obviously has to be reasons. You can do Tshuva, whatever it is. Everything in life, it was divinely inspired. You see clearly right here, if you kill the snake, that's what the Abishah wants you to do. And the Abishah gave Megalgulus Chus Ayede Zakai. If you didn't kill the snake, that's the Abishah took care of you, and because that snake was going to threaten you. So in other words, the snakes generally are a threatening species. We're not just saying like the Braisa that says only the snake that comes from Eitzes Rol, but any snake. says the Gemara Vayit, and the way Tosis understood Rav Shimon Levi when he says you're allowed to kill all threatening species, not like Rashi learned Dafke if they're chasing you, Pekuach Nefesh. Rav Shimon Levi argues and he holds that any threatening species, even though they're not chasing you, you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos. According to the Rif, the version of this Braisa is actually B'Shabbos. That means even though on Shabbos, some people are not very happy if they're not threatening you. He's telling you this Gufus Hashgocha Prati, you did it, and we're calling it Megalim and Chus because you saved others. So we answer, it's not a kashet of those who say that you're not allowed to kill. Rav Huna, for example, says you're not allowed to kill a snake unless it's threatening you, and this is just I'm there. So he will say he's talking about in the case, this bride's talking about where he was threatening, he was hissing, and it was looks like it was about to attack you. Once, Nofal Echad Bebeis HaMedrash, the snake fell down into the shul, V'omad Nivati Echad, the person for Nivati, an area region. He stood there, Vahargo, and killed the snake. Killed the snake. Now, the snake didn't threaten anybody, it was just there. As you see, you have different opinions. If you're just a threatening species that doesn't threaten you, are you allowed to kill on Shabbos or not? And this all according to Shimon holds an Oxygen Gufa is only us and Rabbanon. Whether Rabbanon suspended the Easter, even they don't threaten you or not. So once the snake fell in, and the comment that was made was, Omar Rebbe, the Rebbe's comment was, "Pogabokiyetsu." That snake finally met its match. Now, it was not clear whether it was a derogatory statement or a complimentary statement. Does it mean that he did the right thing? In other words, that the snake finally met, you know, its match, and this person killed it, so it didn't threaten anybody else? Or is he trying to say this guy's like a snake, and the Nachash was the first Rosh, the Yetzer Hara? Is that what he's trying to say? What is he trying to say? A discussion came about between them. They asked a question from Rabbi Yannai, sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yannai. Are you permitted to kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? The same discussion. Well, it's not threatening you. Can you or can't you? So he answered, I would kill a bee. Nachash and akra are far more dangerous and far more threatening. So if I can kill a bee on Shabbos, to, you know, even though it's not personally threatening me, so surely a snake and a scorpion allowed to. Says the Gemara, so I want to bring an eye to that. Says the Gemara, Dilma lefitumai. Maybe when it says over there that you're allowed to kill a bee or a snake, whatever it is, it's not talking about to go out of your way and catch them and kill them. Maybe it's talking about that if you happen to be walking and there's a snake in front of you, you don't have to go around it, you can trample on it and kill it while you're walking. If you're doing it innocently. So we're not talking about you going out there and trying to trap it. Why? And Rashi says an interesting thing. Because then it becomes, if you're walking and you, it's not a molocha shen tilguv, this is a dover shen miskaven. And a dover shen miskaven, Rashi's mechadish here, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a dover shen miskaven is usur, it's only midrabbonim. We already had this before as well. It's only midrabbonim. But mehatoida, a dover shen miskaven is mutter even according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is the shit of some of the shenim. So you want to say over here that that this is a davar shemiskaven, and this gemara goes even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if you're walking and there's a snake there, you can go trample it and kill it, and you don't have to get out of the set out of the way because davar shemiskaven. Davar Yehuda roik, if you spat dorsel if you tumah, if you spittle on the floor, and the thing is that if you spit on the floor and you walk and you push, press your foot in, you're like leveling out the ground because it levels out the sand. It shouldn't go flying anywhere. But nevertheless, you're allowed to go. That's your normal way of walking. It's a davar shemiskaven. And because it's mir, so therefore when you're walking on it, you're covering it. So you're allowed to. The same thing here by the snake. But, and by the way, that's the halacha, by the way, by the snake and everything else, is that you're allowed to kill lefitume. When we're not talking about a threatening one, because obviously kuch nefesh, you'll do whatever you have to do. Talking about a normal case, you just see the species and you're threatened, you can kill lefitume. You're walking and you happen to walk on top of it. Ravkina says, "Akra dorsel if you tumi." So too, by a scorpion, you just walk and you're killing it as you're walking. You have no kavanah whatsoever. Abba Marta, Abba the son of Marta, Abba Bar Marta, the who, and sometimes in Shas we call him Abba Bar Menyumi. He's also known sometimes as Abba the son of Menyumi. Havi maski beit veresh gulusa zuzi. He happened to owe money to the exilarch, you know, the Haresh Gulusa in Babel, who had a lot of authority vested in them, and they were like the royal family. They were members of the royal family, and they had taxation powers, imprisonment powers, were very powerful. And sometimes they were tzaddik of Nachman, was the son-in-law of the Haresh Gulusa in his time. But sometimes we had the Moruchul in other places where the Haresh Gulusa, the people there, didn't behave properly. Anyway, they brought him to the Haresh Gulusa house and committed satellite. They caused him a lot of pain. They even brought him on Shabbos. And, you know, he's supposed to be resting just to talk to him about it so that he should be very uncomfortable, so eventually he should pay. While he was there on Shabbos, Havi Shadi Reike, that there was spit lying there on the floor. And it was a big spittle, and it was mias. Amalu Reish Gulusa, Aisi Mono, Reish Gulusa said, and they were from, he said, bring a keli, sachifu lai, we'll cover, it's mias kite, we'll cover the spit. You can't move it, it's mukta, we'll cover it. Amalu, so he, Abba said, you don't have to. Rabbi Yehuda said that the reik, when it comes to spittle, dorsel lefitumah, you can walk over it, trample over it, and as long as you're walking on top of it, as if you're normally walking, and meanwhile the spit gets buried into the sand, it's all right. Amalu, so Reish Gulusa said, tshuvim rabbanu, this guy is a talmid chacham, shavku, let him go. So this, at least this Reish Gulusa had the recheditz for talmid chachamim. Amr Abba Kahana mentioned before that Abba Kahana, so we're going to mention a few other dinim that he said. Abba Kahana is the one I mentioned before that was sitting in the medrash and a snake fell down, and Rebbe said, you know, that he finally met a match. Amr Abba Kahana, and we still haven't resolved what Rebbe meant. Did Rebbe mean that it was a good thing that he killed the snake or it wasn't? Because we see here there's a big machlekes. The lamps of Beis Rebbe. Now, we learned before that very large lamps on Shabbos you shouldn't use, or they're made up of parts like a Lego set, because if it falls down, you're going to put it back together again. That's also on Shabbos. So Rabbi Gamliel said, these lamps, you're allowed to move them around on Shabbos, because they're not made up of parts, they're one piece. Amr Rab Zayda benitl biyodeachiv is made one piece. Only a manader can hold in one hand, a small one, a bishteidam, even a large one, you need two hands, as long as it's one piece, it's all right. Amalei said to him, ka'oysan shabbeis avicha. He said to him, like in your father's house. They were small, because they weren't that wealthy. But when it comes to large ones, since you don't really move them around, you put them in one place for Shabbos, it remains there. We actually had in the whole sugi of Mems, a machlekes, if that makes something muktzah, something big, you're not going to move around. The wagons of Beis Rebbe, they were attached to horses. Mutl talkum b'Shabbos, not moving around b'Shabbos, because it's meant to house people to sit in. Only the small wagons that one person can draw, even two people. Like your father's house, which is what small. That they allowed, Rabbi Chanina allowed for the family of Rebbe. We had in Chulin, we had a machlekes when wine was a problem of yayin nesich. If a goy touches it, it's stam yayinim. We're not allowed to drink the wine because a goy touched it. But if he has a seal on it, so we had a machlekes, one seal is sufficient or you need two seals. So Rabbi Chanina allowed the family of Rebbe lishtes yayin, to drink wine. Bekroyne shonochi, when the goyim brought wine to Rebbe's house, they delivered it, bechaysa mechli, even though it had one seal. Now we're not sure what that meant. Was it v'lo yedayna? We were not sure. Imishum de sovel lak Rabbi Lezer. Is it because they hold like Rabbi Lezer that one seal is enough? Or is it mishum emasa de beinasiya? That these delivery people, what's a hochshash? Why you need a seal? We're scared they're going to swap it and with their own wine. Or they're going to ruin it. But this is the house of Rebbe, who is very close to the Roman, to Antoninus. And therefore, they would be scared to touch it, to do anything with it. And therefore, you're allowed to, even one seal would be sufficient for them not to tamper with it. Because if they can tell that you tampered with it, these people get in big trouble or worse. So I'm not sure exactly what the reason is. Okay, that finishes today's Gemara.